This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and all across America. I'm your host, Jay Shell. Today we are interviewing Jihada Govan, the monument manager of Sand to Snow National Monument in Southern California. It encompasses 154,000 acres, and it's co-managed by the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Forest Service. Jihada holds a bachelor's degree from California Polytechnic University in Humboldt, where she studied wildlife management with an emphasis on ornithology, botany, and environmental planning. She grew up in the Pasadena and Altadena areas of Southern California, where she spent time hiking and exploring in the San Gabriel Mountains. It sparked her love of the outdoors. Jihada has previously worked as a wildland firefighter, a wildlife biologist, and a wildlife refuge and preserve manager. So welcome, Jihada. It's great to be talking to you from Southern California. How are things down there?
It's pretty nice. We're having a much milder winter this year compared to last year, but it is the rainy season, so we're happy for that. And thanks for having me.
Ah, great. Okay, so tell us about Sand to Snow. It's a national monument that was established recently. Why was it created? What's special about it?
Yeah, you know, so the monument was created through presidential proclamation under the authority of the Antiquities Act, February 12, 2016. There were two other monuments that were also in my area established that through a proclamation that same day. Those are Castle Mountains and Mojave Trail. They're kind of neighbors of mine to the monument. And the monument was established to preserve its natural, cultural, scientific, and historic and prehistoric resources.
And what's the elevation differential there?
Oh, my.
No.
The elevation difference, the one wonderful thing about the Sand to Snow is in its name. It does start on the desert floor of the Colorado, and Mojave Desert. And those elevations range, maybe about 1,000 to 1,500 feet to the highest peak in Southern California, Mount San Gregorio. That is 11,500 feet, give or take. So you've got, you know, desert habitat up to alpine habitat.
Wow. So starting at the trailhead, how long does it take to for a good hiker to climb up from the desert to the high point in the mountains?
So we have lots of different trailheads that can get a hiker on their way. On the forest managed side of the monument, you did manage the monument message. Mentioned that the monument is managed by two different federal agencies, U.S. Forest Service on the San Bernardino National Forest and the Bureau of Land Management on the eastern side. And on the forest side, there are numerous peaks, including the highest peak in Southern California, Mount San Gregorio, and there's several trailhead opportunities. So for the really enthusiastic and good hiker, because this is not a walk in the park hike to get up to that high peak, you can start off. And I'd say an average hike to get to that high peak from one of our closer trailheads would be about 8 hours. It is a wicked elevation gain, but some folks might make it in 6 hours, maybe even five if you're in really super good shape.
So what distinguishes the monument where you are from Joshua Tree that it borders on the east?
The Sand to Snow is a monument. It has really amazing riparian canyons that are these wonderful deep canyons where water can be found year-round, where a lot of different wildlife, migratory birds and whatnot, find refuge and find a good drink of water when the temperatures can get into the, you know, in the 100 teens in our area. the Joshua Tree area doesn't necessarily have that diversity, those canyons. They have, you know, great springs. They have some marshy areas, but nothing like the Sand to Snow. We are fortunate to be, you know, within the San Bernardino Mountains as well as the Little San Bernardino Mountains to the east, are just a different geographically, different and distinct from the San Bernardino Mountains, as opposed to Joshua Tree, our neighbor, you know, to the east.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you're jointly supervised by your department, which is Bureau of Land Management, and the U.S. Forest Service. That's kind of unique. How does that work out?
The funny thing is, it is unique, but not really for California. There are two other co-managed national monuments, at least with Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management, in the state. One of them is a monument to the north of us, Berryessa Snow Mountain National Monument, and that's managed through the Bureau of Land Management and the Mendocino National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually another co-managed monument within my immediate neighbor, the Santa Rosa and San Jacinto Mountains National Monument. That is those beautiful mountains and that beautiful stark landscape you see as the backdrop of in the Palm Springs or the Coachella Valley area. So it's not super unique, but though as monuments go, it is a bit different. The interesting thing too about the Sand and Snow Monument is on the Forest Service managed side, it's not just on the National Forest, but it's also in two different ranger districts. So we, part of maybe about 10,000 acres of the Sand and Snow is within the Mountaintop Ranger District management area, and the balance of it is in the Front Country Ranger District. And also on the Bureau of Land Management side, I'm also in the California Desert District, and within that district, there's five different field offices. The monument, the balance of it, is in the BLM managed side in the Palm Springs South Coast field office to the southern part of the monument, and to the north, there's a 10,000-acre-ish discontiguous unit that is in the Barstow field offices management area. So it does make things somewhat difficult. Having to make sure I'm informing all of the line officers or, you know, different supervisors. I'm not the big boss. Like, when I have manager in my name, I'm not the big boss. I'm actually a Forest Service employee. And so my direct supervisors are the forest supervisors on the San Bernardino, but I also, am supervised, de facto by the field managers for the Barstow and the Palm Springs South Coast field offices. So it makes things kind of rough, but luckily we have, a shared mission. I get support from both field offices and districts, through their staff, in helping manage the monument, you know, mainly in recreation, biology and things like that, and different support. So it works out pretty good. So it is a lot of coordination.
I would assume it takes a lot of coordination and cooperation. So there's a boundary around the whole thing, and is each agency, the BLM and the Forest Service, do they administer those parcels separately? Is that how it works?
Yes, I'd say yes and no. You know, yes, because, you know, Bureau of Land Management, you know, the federal lands that they manage, they are called public lands, and so they're, you know, managed. And not super different, but just a little. They have some jurisdictions or some designations that are a little different from the Forest Service. And, you know, so for the most part, you know, it's managed the same. And my job is to work, you know, with both agencies and kind of basically straddle, you know, both agency and both, you know, both worlds there, to, you know, to support, the mission, I guess, for the monument and for both agencies. Having been a past employee, with the Bureau of Land Management, I don't find it super difficult because I kind of get how both agencies kind of function. So it works out. And then also the Bureau of Land Management does, they do provide half my salary. It works. We make it work.
100,000 acres is designated as wilderness. Who manages that?
On the Forest Service side of the Sanderson Monument, there's the main there's only one wilderness, and that's the San Gregorio Wilderness.
Uh-huh.
But the interesting thing is on the forest side, the San Gregorio Wilderness was one of the original wilderness designations through the Wilderness Act of 1964. Whereas on the Bureau of Land Management side, the legislation that designated that as a wilderness. Again, the same name, San Gregorio Wilderness, was the California Desert Conservation Plan in the 90s and the 96. So it's, you know, kind of interesting, but they're both managed through the guidance of the Wilderness Act and as wilderness. Yeah. So that doesn't really change. That's pretty similar. No motorized vehicles, no bicycles, no mountain bikes or anything like that within it. Because both agencies are multiple use agencies, we do allow hunting still within the monument. There's still active deer hunters, some quail in the lower elevations,
uh-huh.
and things like that. So, it works out pretty good.
So what's the major activity for people who visit the monument? Is it biking or hiking, or what do they do?
I would have to say it's hiking. On the forest side, we've got, over 250 miles of trail within the monument, and that's within the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
There's a smaller primitive campsite. People enjoy that yellow post site within the forest managed side of the monument. So hiking is huge. It's a big deal. And then on the BLM side, this is winter is the busy season in the low desert, and it's also snowbird season. So we've got lots of folks who are normally living in your state in Montana,
uh-huh.
Down here for the winter, and they do like to get out and about and do day hikes darn near every day. And so we our parking lots on the BLM side are pretty full of folks just hiking and just getting out. To have a picnic or stretch their legs. So by far, I think nature viewing and just getting out, doing a family hike or a hike with a group is one of the most activities that people engage in the most.
30 miles of the Pacific Crest Trail runs through mm-hmm. the monument. What's that like? What elevation is the trail at there?
The lowest elevation they can access the Pacific Crest Trail is on the desert side of the monument, and a lot of people access that at the Cottonwood Trailhead, mm-hmm. and that elevation is about maybe a little less shy of 2,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But the PCT doesn't go into the highest elevate, peaks within the San Bernardino National Forest, but it does get up there at about 8,000 feet. Yeah.
So you have a lot of bird species there, 240, I think I read.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the birds that you see there.
The birding here is amazing. It really is. A lot of people who do come and participate in bird watching, and we get people from all over the world, they tend to flock to the Big Morongo unit of the Sanderson Monument. That unit is unique because it's one of the largest freshwater and cottonwood, forested marshes in Southern California. And it also supports a huge density of breeding birds during the bird breeding season, which starts, anywhere from, like March, sometimes February, into, August, September. And the birding, it's quite phenomenal. Actually, I just looked at, before this chat with you today, the rare bird alert. The preserve, the Big Morongo Canyon Preserve, they have a really great, vigorous friends group. Part of their responsibilities or just things that they do is they have a series of different feeders, hummingbird feeders and whatnot, and they do a weekly, you know, if not, you know, daily, there's someone there birding daily. And there was a Plymouth vireo seen there this month. It's like, holy moly. That's pretty cool. There have been some eastern birds there recently. I think last year they had a catbird, which is amazing. You know, for us, we were like, wow, that's so exciting, you know. But, yeah, the birding is quite phenomenal.
And what are the rare visitors that you see on occasion?
Yeah, and I may not be pronouncing this correctly, so, you know, please feel free to correct me here. The Plymouth vireo is a pretty good one. That's a rare one, definitely a rare bird. Uh-huh. And last year there was also a rose-breasted grosbeak, and that was pretty neat. The typical birds that you'd see every day, of course, in the desert are just, you know, the common common raven. Lots of Phainopeplas, one of my favorite birds. You'll see them there on a daily basis. We also, the Big Morongo Canyon Unit, it is an area of critical environmental concern. That is a designation that the Bureau of Land Management uses for areas that have, you know, important habitat for a bird species or a plant or something, or cultural, sensitive cultural site, for them to flourish and to be successful in breeding and their population numbers. So leaf-billed vireo is another bird that regularly breeds at the Big Morongo Unit.
And what kind of mammals are found there?
Lots. People sometimes think that, you'd see black bear or mountain lion or things like that in the higher elevations or, you know, a typical forest. But we do have a resident mountain lion in the desert area in the Big Morongo unit. We also have a black bear that comes and feeds on mesquite beans regularly down there. We have bobcat and things like that. Other mammals that we have, you might would encounter there would be, you know, coyotes, raccoons, things like that.
You have pronghorn there?
We do. Well, not pronghorn, but we have bighorn sheep. Yeah, no pronghorn.
Uh-huh. And how about bats?
Lots of bats. I believe there are 12 or 14 different species of bats that have been identified that utilize portions of the monument. But, you know, it could be more than that. Yeah, you know, it just depends on who's out there looking at any given time.
Do you have a bat specialist on staff?
You know, the monument manager for the Santa Rosa and San Jacinto National Monument, her previous position was as a wildlife biologist at the Palm Springs South Coast Field Office, and I believe her master's degree was in bats. So she is our resident bat expert, so that's kind of, you know, great. She's pretty busy, but every now and then we can get her out.
All right. What kind of reptiles do you have in the monument?
We have rattlesnakes. Southern California has one of the highest diversities of rattlesnakes in the country. So we have speckled rattlesnakes. Just the typical western rattlesnakes. Quite a few whiptails. It's pretty diverse as far as our reptile species and snakes.
Do you have some threatened species or species that are on the endangered species list?
The leaf-billed vireo is an endangered bird species. Uh-huh. We also have 14 different federally listed plants, species that are threatened and endangered. Most famous or most notable of those would be the southern mountain wild buckwheat. We also have the triple rib. A ribbed milk vetch. There's an ash gray paintbrush. That's more of the higher elevations, and those are they range from threatened to endangered in the Southern California area.
We had a terrible heat wave last summer.
Mm.
Were any species affected by that adversely?
I think so. You know, I can't necessarily say on the within the Sand to Snow Monument, and one of the reasons for that is we had such a good, it was an intense winter there's atmospheric river after atmospheric river. And that allows plants to, you know, really get a good foothold, getting a good root system laid down, as well as, you know, some good growth. They also held on to fuel moisture for a long, longer period of time. So we were expecting kind of a bad fire season, but it actually turned out to not be so bad. We also had a good marine layer that would come in and came pretty far east every year from the ocean that kind of kept, fuel moisture relatively high. That kind of, helped plants out their survival rate, plus, kept the fire risk low.
Have you had any species that over the past century are no longer in the monument that have been eradicated?
First off, I would say wolves, maybe, and the grizzly bear. Those are gone.
Yeah.
As far as other species, I've read some historical accounts of like just desert cactus in some areas. There used to be in these areas, even though it's a desert, I consider it lush, because when it's green and blooming, it's quite lovely. But there was an issue with people coming to take those for landscaping, further west in the LA area.
Uh-huh.
And actually that was one of the things that spurred a lot of the desert areas and desert conservation. A woman named Minerva Hoyt, you probably have heard of, was very instrumental in bringing that to the presidents and to a larger national attention of those concerns.
Have you noticed any differences due to climate change?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I guess, I've lived here my whole life. Well, not necessarily in the desert, the Mojave Desert, but I am from, the Pasadena, Altadena area.
Uh-huh.
And, I lived here, I'm in my, mid-50s now, as a child of the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving on the freeway and seeing, going to visit friends and family, with my family, and looking at the mountains and seeing these snow-covered peaks, like Mount Baldy, covered in snow into August, sometimes, September. You don't see that anymore. You don't see necessarily see snow lingering for that long anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There is that. Other climate change effects in the monument are similar to other areas. In Southern California, there's hotter and drier conditions, and it causes a longer duration and more damaging fires, one of the fires, was set the tone, right before I came here, was a blue cut fire. That was a pretty, pretty huge fire. And a lot of that was, could be, pointed at towards some early climate change. That was, for climate change, because that was 2016. That was pretty intense.
Uh-huh.
A lot of structures were lost. Don't believe any lives were lost, but it was just very, very damaging.
Do you have a fire response team? Do you maintain a fire department in the area?
Oh, the San Bernardino National Forest, as far as employee count goes, maybe more than half of the forest, the permanent and seasonal employees are fire, or the fire militias on Southern California forests are pretty intense. They're quite large. We work very closely, of course, with Cal Fire, and other municipalities in our response, to fires here, as well as, some tribes. They have their own, fire departments, but we provide, mutual response and support to those areas.
Do you have some challenges ahead at the monument that you're concerned about? Any kind of restoration of losses that you've had? Perhaps bringing back Mexican wolves?
Yeah, I don't think, I think our urban interface is would be too restrictive to bring back wolves. Though, last summer, I believe there was a wolf that traveled almost into Southern California before, unfortunately, he was struck by a vehicle.
Oh.
So, I mean, just natural. You never know how that works. But, you know, any restoration that we, you know, at least for the monument is concerned, it takes place where there's been resource damage. And at this time, most of our resource damage, it comes from illegal OHD use, from user-created hill climbs and trails and things like that. And the restoration that we, we employ is involves using dead vegetation or rocks and things like that to camouflage those areas so they look natural and kind of blend in. Seed planting in those areas as well to promote native vegetation. But yeah, that's kind of a big issue around here in these areas, at least on the monument.
Is your visitation mostly from Southern California, or do you find people coming from other parts of the country to visit the San Jacinto?
You know, I think in the summer on the forest side of the monument, the majority of our visitation is from, you know, from California and from Southern California.
Uh-huh.
On the BLM side, it's specifically like in the winter time. We get visitors from all over the world and especially, you know, all over the country. There are many, many people who have winter homes, you know, in the Palm Springs, the Coachella Valley area. And, you know, they really take advantage of the open spaces and natural areas within the deserts and the mountains to get out and hike and just enjoy, you know, their retirement. So we get visitors from all over in the winter. Yeah.
We're running out of time, but I want to ask, what kind of cactus do you have there?
We have barrel cactus. We have atoya, things like that.
Uh-huh.
We have lots of those things, you know. But yeah.
You have Joshua trees in the monument?
We do have Joshua trees, but not nearly what they have in Joshua Tree National Park.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have some. But not tons.
And have you had problem with vandalism?
We have not had problems with vandalism, but like as far as, you know, that being a challenge, we get some graffiti and whatnot. But you know, aside from that, I just think you know, other challenges aside from, you know, the graffiti, please stop doing that, people. Is, you know, educating people, you know, visitors about, you know, these lands that are open to the public. You know, they belong to everyone, and it is everyone's responsibility and everyone, you know, that everyone cares for the land. Leaving a place better than when you found it is a great rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are growing exponentially, and with this comes way more impact to our lands. You know, lands are open to the public, whether it be state, you know, county lands. So I would just ask people to help in any way they can by adhering to the rules and regulations. You know, we have valid reasons why they're there. We have those, you know, regulations and rules, and it probably seems unfair to a person, you know, that they might have limited spaces to ride a mountain bike or hunt or off-road in specific areas. But I just ask people that they keep in mind that we manage lands for many uses and for wildlife. And just ask people to keep that in mind no matter where they are.
Well, Jihana, we have exhausted our time, but I really appreciate your talking to us about San Jacinto. I only recently learned that it was even there. So thank you very much for telling us about it. Sounds
well, thank
like
you so much.
Great place to visit.
I hope you do. Look me up.
And you have a website that people can go and use to explore. So.
Yes. We do, and they can search it easily on Google, and a website will pop up.
Well, thank you very much. Our guest today has been Jihana Govan, BLM manager at San Jacinto National Monument, east of San Bernardino, California. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to kgvm.org and see additional features of our website. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, J. Jay Shell.